Welcome to the Edinburgh Cider View, round 7. My name's Neil Caldwell. I have with me James Cocker, a.k.a. IT.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm not bad, thank you. How are you?
Well, we've been on a cider sourcing rampage
the last few weeks. Collected quite a collection.
Quite a collection.
I was looking for a better word, but failed.
So what's in the fridge this week, IT?
This fridge. I haven't been drinking tonight yet, honestly. We've got a bottle of JK's Scrumpy Hard Cider, which has been imported by Thistle Cross into Vino Wines in Edinburgh.
Okay.
We also have a bottle here of Henny's Dry Cider, and a Spanish one here called El Gaitero.
El Gaitero.
Or however you want to pronounce it. 100% brushed apples. So
our first Spanish cider.
Yeah.
And our first American cider. You neglected to mention that.
Well, yes, the first one was American. So we've been around the world today, or we will be going around the world.
So what's first?
Well, I was actually reading, and it was on the Henny's website, that when you're tasting cider, you should always start with the driest and work your way up through medium to sweet, which kind of makes sense.
Right.
Because we've commented in the past, when we've had a sweet one and then went to a dry, that it was horrible and didn't really work.
You've
like
been
that.
Doing some homework for
so,
this one.
So I have. So the Henny's is dry. The JK Scrumpy, can you tell what this is?
It's American.
Yeah, it is American. I don't really know whether that's dry. It doesn't seem
to
say
scrumpy in it, so it's going to be slightly dry.
And the Spanish doesn't actually say. This is medium dry. The Spanish is medium dry.
So we'll go with the Henny's dry one first then.
So let's start with the Henny's dry. Now, I've actually been looking forward to trying this one. I got it in Morrison's, so it's fizzier than I thought. But there's just something about a clear bottle with a clear cider in it. There's just kind of.
It looks quite chic. Quite chic style.
It looks refreshing.
See, refreshing doesn't hold any favours with me. We've discussed this before. Water is refreshing. Coca-Cola is refreshing. Like, I don't care if a cider is refreshing.
Refreshing cider is even better.
Well, maybe. Anyway, I'll try this.
So, be expecting dry, I presume.
It is a bit, but it's nice.
A bit fizzy. A bit dry, not too dry.
It's not that dry, no. And it's not that fizzy either, I wouldn't say.
No. Lightly fizzy.
You feel like you could drink a lot of that. What's the percentage of that?
This is a 6%.
It doesn't taste like it at all.
It certainly doesn't. It's probably a wee bit disappointed. I was expecting it to be probably less fizzy, I think.
It's not very flavoursome though, is it?
No. It's kind of a bit dry and then it just kind of
It's a bit dry. It's quite nice
away.
Though.
But it is, yeah, it's perfect. It's very drinkable.
Yeah, you could easily make that your drink of an evening.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But I was expecting better, and I think so were you.
I was, yeah. I've been looking forward to trying this for like the last 2 weeks since I found it. I don't know why, just something about it got to me. I think it's the clear bottle. You don't often see clear bottles of cider.
Oh, when you say clear bottles, you mean one with very little labelling?
No, I don't. I mean the glass is clear as opposed to brown or green.
That and it's got very little labelling.
Well, that as well. That probably kind of added to it and made the fact that the bottle was clear even more apparent.
So we give them good marks for the branding. What cider marks do we give them? I'm going 6.5. At most. Because it's nice, right? And it's a real cider and it's got a quite nice dry aftertaste. But it's a bit boring.
Yeah, there's nothing to write home about really, is there? It is just a bit kind of normal. It's drinkable, nice, but normal. So I'm going to bump that up to a 7.
So now we get the average of a 6.75.
No, I was bumping it up to a 7.
No, you can't do that.
Yes, I can. Effectively, what that means is that I'm saying 7.5. So that we can come to 7.
So we're giving it a 7 overall.
Yeah.
Okay, so okay marks. I mean, that puts it in what whereabouts in the league table? 10th position in our cider league table?
I don't know. Do you know the league table off the top of your head?
Well, we can go to ciderview.com after the show and find out.
We can indeed. Not bad start. What should we crack over next? Do we think the US one is going to be more sweet or more dry though? I'm reckoning more sweet
just because it's American, isn't it?
It is.
Big sweet flavours and stuff like that.
Okay, we'll take a gamble.
We'll go Spain.
We shall go for the Spanish one, the El Gaitero, or however you want to pronounce it.
You didn't mention where you got Henny's, by the way.
I did, Morrison's.
Oh, you got it at Morrison's.
Yes.
This is El Gaitro, or
and
El Gaitro.
It's in a little bottle. It's at 330.
Yeah.
Don't pour it all out. We'll fill your glass. So it's quite clear. It's a lot clearer than the Henny's.
It's very clear.
In fact, probably one of the clearest ciders I've seen.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I don't know.
Completely clear.
Doesn't smell of much. It's quite fizzy.
I like that.
It's nice. It's got a little bit more to it than the Henny's.
Yeah. So it's from northern Spain. The Asturias region. Don't know which part of Spain that is. Now, it might be a Celtic, one of the Celtic areas of Spain.
Mm.
Galicia. Somewhere like that, I'm guessing. Celtic connections with the West Country and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
If you say so.
But it's okay. For the first Spanish cider, they get not bad.
Not bad. Different.
Did they say that's dry? Because that doesn't taste very dry to me.
Do you know what? I was going to say it was drier than Henny's in a way. But
no, it's not.
There's an extra bit of a kick there.
It's maybe slightly dry at the start, right? Which is a bit different. So, but there's no... You know, quite often with the dry ciders, you get a bit of dry aftertaste.
Yeah. I mean, it is classed as medium dry, is what it says on the bottle. Okay. So it's probably about right. So if we give the Henny's, what do you end up with? 7 then? What are we going to give this?
I would give that a 7.
Okay.
I quite like it.
So let's say 7.5 then.
So you're... See, now you are interfering with the grading policy.
Right, okay. I say 8.
You know, but this is my point. You're taking my grade and then deciding what the overall grade should be.
Yeah, true. It's
by probably, artificially bumping up your grade.
It's probably not the right way of going about it.
It's entirely the wrong way of going about it because we've created now... Cider league table, or a cider list, as it's still called on the website.
Yes.
And we're now interfering with that whole...
We're not interfering, we're just doing the same thing.
We're not, but you are artificially bumping up grades, which is wrong.
I'm just skipping to the point here.
We're providing a service here.
I'm saying 7.5 instead of saying 8 and then working it out to be 7.5.
So it is 7.5.
So the overall number stays the same. So, yeah, 7.5.
Okay, 7.5. It's about the 19th cider we've had at 7.5, isn't it?
Yeah, it does seem to be a bit of a common number. I think that's a good thing.
That's it's grown on me a bit more.
Oh dear.
So Real Madrid have just scored, by the way.
Yeah, Neil's watching the football while we're recording this podcast.
Well, it's Real Madrid Man United. I was going to watch it.
Yeah. Well, I'm
anyway,
not interested.
I'm going to put it up to 7.5 for my grading.
Okay.
So that makes it 7.75.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to take mine down.
It's actually very nice. And yeah, even though I just said I don't like you to use the word refreshing, it is quite refreshing.
Here we go.
It has got a lot of flavour to it at the start, and you get a dry kind of taste at the start, but it's not got any... It's just different to other dry ciders, I would say.
Okay.
Do you understand what
I'm saying? So 7.75. El Garitro from Waitrose, you said.
Yeah, I got that in Waitrose.
So 5.5%.
Good cider selection in Waitrose, incidentally.
Not quite as strong as the...
Don't often go to Waitrose. Not my kind of place.
Can't say I do either.
But very good cider selection.
Cool. Oh, well, on to the USA.
Yeah, let's go over the Atlantic Ocean.
Into quite a large bottle here.
JK's Hard Cider.
Yeah.
Have we discussed the fact that hard cider in America is just a cider?
I don't think we have. So hard cider in America is normal cider. It's what we'd think of cider here.
Yes.
And I think it's because in America...
They call it apple juice
cider. What they call cider is actually just apple juice.
Yes.
So hard cider is just what we'd call cider. So let's crack this open. Now it looks, before I pour it out, it looks a wee bit cloudy. In fact, I might have needed to give that a wee shake, but the bottle's so dark you can't tell. But let's tip this out and see. Ooh, wow, what a colour. What a colour. It's brown.
Okay, that's definitely a scrumpy.
It's
I mean, they advertise it as such. You've given me hardly anything.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Because if you normally pour out too much. It's, what a weird colour. I've never seen a cider this colour before. It is brown. It's not orange, it's brown.
No, it's not quite brown. It's darker orange.
When you hold it up to the light, I suppose it goes more orange. But it looks like you've mixed Coke with cider.
Now, they say this is a traditional farmhouse scrumpy. It doesn't smell... You know, you get a distinctive farm smell in a lot of scrumpies. It doesn't smell like that.
Mm.
It smells nice. It smells very... It smells quite sweet.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's good. I like that.
That is good, isn't it?
It's smooth. It's not sparkling. It's sweet. You are right. It is sweet.
Yeah. Did they say dry on this?
Good guess. No, they don't. I couldn't find anywhere it says. But that is very different, and it's... I like that a lot.
Yeah. That's good, actually.
It's almost syrupy.
No, I wouldn't say it's syrupy.
It is very sweet.
Maybe this is what American cider's like. It's just a different kind of genre.
I like this. I'm glad it's coming in a big bottle as well.
I've got another one at home.
Oh, great. I'm going to have to stock up on this.
We should tell the listeners why we came about to get this. I've been pestering Vino Wines on Twitter and in person to expand their range because we've exhausted it all for the show. And they tweeted us to mention this new cider they had from America, which is imported by Thistle Cross, isn't
it? Yeah, which is very interesting. It's a 6%.
So I went down and got two bottles, one of which I'm having now for the first time in the show. Very nice.
It is very good. I do very much like this.
So compliments to Vino Wine. So they do select good ciders, you have to hand it to them.
Yeah, I'm true.
Despite the fact that the real cider Nazis were having a go at them the other day for stocking Iduns. They do a fine selection in my view.
So, what are we giving this then?
It's really good, actually. I want a bit more because I'm tempted to give it a very good grading, but I don't want to hand out a very good grading lightly. Do you know what I mean?
It is yummy. It is actually yummy. I'm describing a cider as yummy.
It's a very childish.
Yeah, I know, but it. I know it. I know. I wouldn't. But it is.
One day we might be proper connoisseurs having our own radio show, and you're going to describe a cider as yummy.
Yep.
Right.
I'm giving that a 9.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair grading. The one thing I would say is, like, quite often a criticism people say is, oh, cider tastes like apple juice. This really tastes like apple juice.
Yeah, it is very...
It tastes like when you go to a canteen kind of place and they've got massive tubs of apple juice and you pour yourself a glass, it just tastes like that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about good apple juice.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean? Good, cloudy apple juice. It tastes like that. Mm. It's too much like apple juice, I think, for me. But it's still very nice.
So what are you going to give it?
It just doesn't feel like cider. It doesn't taste like cider enough.
I know what you mean in some ways, but it's... what are you going to give it?
I thought you were going to give it a 9.5, right? In which case I was going to... Because I think the...
I'll give it a 9.2.
No, I don't know. Right. Okay, this is the grading policy, right? We're going to settle on this. Each person, i.e. you or me, gives a grading in denominations of 0.5.
Right, listeners are getting bored.
I don't care. We need to settle this. And then we take an average of the two of our gradings, right?
Right, did you say ending in 0.5 then?
Yes.
I wasn't really listening. Okay.
Right. Usually when you go in your monologue, I have to interfere on the listener's behalf. Anyway, I'll give this an 8.
Right, I shall give it a 9.5.
Right, so it's 8.75.
Yeah, sounds a fair number to me. Yeah, I do like that. I'm going to save that.
Okay, it's a fair enough grading because it's got a lot to it. It's very different. Very different. It's quite sweet, but it's not sweet enough. It's not too sweet. It's just sweet in a kind of normal apple juice.
It's weird to have a sweet cider that isn't necessarily fizzy. Because the sweet ones that we normally have are the likes of your recording, all that kind of stuff that we've debated in the past.
Not necessarily.
No, well, not quite. But this one being a still sweet one, I like.
Yeah, and it's strange that a proper scrumpy could be that sweet as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tad cloudy. I don't know how far you'd go with the word scrumpy, but it's because it's not full on cloudy.
I suppose I was just hoping for something a bit more of a cider kick to it, given it was a scrump. It advertises itself as a scrumpy. It says JK Scrumpy.
Oh, yes.
Scrumpy
well,
cider.
It says JK Scrumpy. Yeah, true. It does say Scrumpy on it. But then again, you get Scrumpy Jack, which...
the word Scrumpy just means cider, effectively, doesn't it?
So, yeah, okay. Well, an interesting three bottles there.
Yeah, good. Spanning the Atlantic Ocean we have in this fridge.
From Spain to America and Herefordshire.
Indeed. So, cider news.
So, no cider news as such this episode.
No cider news. A surprise.
I just have several kind of tidbits, you could call them.
Are these facts? Are these...
They're just little points of interest.
Points of interest.
Cider
right.
Points of interest.
Do you know what? Should we just abandon the feature called cider news?
No, because it's a good feature when there is news.
But you never have any news.
I do so have news.
Right. I think maybe in episode 2... Was
there's not always news, but when there is news, there's news. Anyway,
carry
I'm getting
on.
Boring now. This is cider points of interest.
Okay.
So a few little snippets that have come my way in the last couple of weeks. Eden's Temptation, that we've mentioned several times on the show.
Too often in my view.
In Garbridge.
Given we haven't tried
They have yet. Been in touch, and their bottling is underway at the moment, so hopefully we should have some to try soon. But they actually said that because they're very small, they're happy to experiment and try new things. And they're wanting suggestions for things that, basically what people want from a Scottish cider.
What do we want?
I don't really know. I don't really know to what extent that they can tweak things, but like whether it's things like flavourings or whether it's just tweaking the apples and the sweetness and the dryness, I don't really know. But I think if anyone has any suggestions about what they want out of a Scottish cider or just types of cider that could be interesting to try,
well, contact Eden's Temptation or contact the Edinburgh Cider Review at Cider Review.
Yes. Because I think we'll have a chat with you in Temptation at some point. So if you do send us through your comments, we shall be sure to.
Well, what do you want from a Scottish cider? I don't. Let's be honest, like the cider industry in Scotland is not a huge industry.
True.
So there is no benchmark. There's no distinctive Scottish cider standard apart from Thistle Cross and to lesser extent the other smaller bottlers. There's no distinctive feature that you would want from it necessarily. You just want an interesting one that we could have, and it's a local cider, and we could say, "Oh, Scotland's on the cider map now."
I think something a little bit different, something that isn't just the same as all the other ciders out there.
Keep it real,
something.
Perhaps.
Keep it real. Yeah, something. It'll be good to make sure it's an absolutely real cider.
I think we'd say, well, ideally real cider, but we're not cider Nazis. We're not real cider Nazis. Unlike other people that we've discussed with on Twitter lately.
Because I think the majority of Thistle Crosses, I believe, aren't actually real.
Yeah. Well, is that true?
That
would surprise me if all aren't.
Well, that actually brings me on to my next part of news, funnily enough, next tidbit, which is that Thistle Cross have launched a special edition cider, which I think was actually out in the middle of last year as well, but it's called Jaggy Thistle.
And I think I've heard of this.
It is a cider that Thistle Cross have made specifically to the camera specifications of real cider.
Okay.
So that kind of tells you that the other ciders aren't necessarily real cider.
Yeah, but I think they're still...
Yeah, I know.
There's different definitions of real cider, isn't there?
You can't just... By boycotting anything that isn't real cider and missing out Thistle Cross is just silly.
Yeah.
Because Thistle Cross is clear that there's probably something minor that they're doing, which won't
save. And I would defy anyone to not enjoy Thistle Cross Whiskey Cask.
Yeah. Well, yes.
It's the Edinburgh Cider Review's number one recommended cider.
It is at
cider.
The moment, yes.
And whether it's real or not, I don't care.
Yes, exactly.
It's awesome.
Exactly. So the Jaggy Thistle, I think it's on tap around the place, but it would be good to track it down and try some out as their real cider and see how it compares to, say, their original.
Yeah, we need to try and find it.
Because I don't think, as far as I'm aware, they're not bottling it. It is purely just a kind of limited edition in pubs and things. So it'd be good to find that somewhere.
Okay. Anything else in cider information this week?
Well, and possibly coming back slightly to what we were just saying about experimenting with cider, but I discovered that Bridge Farm Cider from Somerset
have heard of them.
Recently introduced a chili cider.
Chili cider.
Yep.
Chili cider. You're expecting me to act in a negative way here, aren't
you? Not necessarily.
You said that in the way that it's like provoking me into some kind of rant or some kind of derogatory comment. I would reserve judgment.
Apparently it smells like jalapenos, so that would be interesting to try. But that kind of got me thinking.
I would try it. It sounds interesting. Because there's some ciders, you think about them, they're a bit banal. Maybe they're too dry all the way through. I'm thinking of the previous Dunkertons that we've had. Dunkertons Organic one. Chili might cut through that and give it an interesting twist.
I'm all for the interesting flavours. I mean, forget your kind of brother's toffee apple and stuff like that. That's kind of just plain old kind of sweet and meh. But chili cider, maybe even chocolate cider. Do you think chocolate cider would be interesting? Because it would be kind of sweet and caramelly and...
No. How is chocolate cider any better than toffee apple cider?
Because toffee apple is just like melting toffee. Well, toffee cider. Yeah.
It's not.
Chocolate's very different.
Any other?
Chili and chocolate cider.
Chili and chocolate, there's one.
And
you just campaign for real cider.
I might get in touch with Eden's Temptation, see if they'll make me some chocolate cider.
Chocolate and chili
cider. Yes, chocolate and chili cider. That would be interesting.
But keeping it real as well.
But keeping it real.
That's almost an impossible question.
Hmm.
Anyway,
you need to make chocolate apples. Anyway, let's not go there. And just the last little tidbit here. I was at Murrayfield again at the weekend for the Scotland game.
Oh, it was a good one, wasn't it?
They did. It was quite a surprise, but they won.
Four tries.
First
time in 14 years.
And those that have listened to episode 3 might remember the last time I was at Murrayfield, I had a bottle of Kingston Press there.
Yes.
Which I previously picked up in Morrison's for the whole sum of £1.
Yes, we discussed this at length in
was
episode 3.
Feeling a bit ripped off that Murrayfield was selling those exact same bottles for £4, four times the price.
Yes.
But I was kind of glad that at least they were doing something different.
Yeah.
Now, I was highly disappointed this weekend when I discovered that they're no longer selling Kingston Press.
Right.
The only cider that they are selling now is Magners. But to make matters worse, not only have they reduced the volume from 500 milliliters, as the Kingston Press was, down to 330 milliliter bottles, the little ones, they've increased the price. So at Murrayfield, you now get a little bottle of Magners for £4.25. What right. a rip-off.
So you're getting arguably similar quality cider, but more branded. A higher, a more commonly known brand for more money and you get less.
Yes. So it's a rip-off. In fact, I think that's even the beers, the lagers that they rip you off with there are better value for money than that. So,
well, you've got a good game to watch anyway with Scotland playing well. What are you complaining about?
I know, true. But Murrayfield, come on, get your act together. Get some. You could sell some decent cider at that cost, still make a profit, and everyone would be happy. Good. The end of my rant.
Okay.
And over.
That was your cider news.
So that's our cider points of interest, not cider news, because it's not necessarily news.
Points
just
of information and interest.
Yes, points of interest. It sounds like I'm talking like a sat nav now, aren't I?
No quiz this week?
Well, because I didn't have any news articles, we do actually have a quiz.
Oh, we've got a quiz.
Yes, we have a quiz.
Fantastic.
We have a quiz, listeners.
I'm delighted.
So, listeners, get your pen and papers out and prepare yourselves for this episode's quiz.
Okay, am I getting my notes out as well?
Yes, please.
Okay.
So we have got four questions. Question number one. I'm waiting for a comment about Rob DJ's here, just because I said question number one.
No, I'm just letting you start question number one.
Good. Okay, question number one. Desalted Sun is an anagram for which cider that we've tasted on the show?
I refuse to answer that question on the point of the fact that it's nothing to do with cider. Right, hold up. Because now I need to...
You need to be able to recognise...
Okay, right. Spell desalted sun.
Desalted, like removing the salt from something.
Desalted.
Yep. And sun is an S-O-N.
Desalted sun.
Yes. It's an anagram for which cider that we taste on the show. I purposely didn't make it too hard. Because there was... I did look for anagrams for Sheppy's Dabinet Apple at one point, but then realised that there was not a cat's in hell's chance that you were going to be able to work that out. So,
desalted sun.
I figured this one. I can give you a clue if you want. It's one word, and we've reviewed it in, I can't remember which episode, a couple episodes ago maybe. It's not going to come to him.
You said it's one word.
It's one word.
Well, I thought I get all four questions and then I give you my answers.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have to question two.
So we can come back to it. So question two. According to our new cider list page on the website, which cider have we rated the highest, and what did we give it?
Oh, that's
easy. A nice. I thought I'd give you an easier one, since the first question I wasn't completely expecting you to get.
And the good news is, it's back in, because I think I emptied Vino Wine supplies of it.
Cool. And so along the same lines, which we rated the lowest, and what did we give it?
Oh, that changed recently, didn't it? Because I know I think it was that. Well, I can't see what that
yeah.
is.
Yeah, what are you going to go for? If you don't quite get the score right, but you get the cider right, I might be kind and give you a point. But if you've got an idea, jot it down. He's struggling. I thought you knew this list off the top of your heart. Top of your heart? That's not the right saying, is it?
Top of my head.
That's it, yes.
I'm really struggling. Because I know the one I had my rant on, but I don't think that's the lowest anymore, is it?
I don't know.
Right, question four.
Question four. According to the camera, what are the three main criteria for a cider to be classed as real?
That is a hard question.
I thought I'd bring it up since we were discussing real cider last week.
Three main criteria.
There are three main things, yes. I think we've mentioned them.
This is poor. Very poor performance.
Yeah. But there's a few others as well, so I might be kind of give you a point if you get one of them. But they're not really full points. There are three main points that generally all start with no.
Okay. Right.
Right. Hard one this week.
Yeah, it is.
So.
That anagram bugging me.
Desalted Sun. Listeners, if you know what that anagram is.
What is the point?
Tweet
of listeners?
Us.
Do you want to get tons of tweets responding to what an anagram is on a recorded
podcast?
Yeah,
no, I do. I want to know if anyone can beat Neil at the cider quiz.
It's not coming to me.
Starts with Ad.
Adelston.
Yeah.
Does that count then?
No. No, it doesn't. So, you're lucky it wasn't Sheppy's dabbing at Apple.
Yeah.
There were some interesting anagrams of that, I can tell
we
you.
We need to re-review that, by the way.
So you got that wrong.
No.
Question number two. According to our new cider list page on our website, which cider have we rated the highest and what did we give it?
Thistle Cross Whiskey Cask 9.5.
Perfect. You got a point. Well done. Question number three. Which cider have we rated the lowest and what did we give it?
Okay, I'm between either Jack's Fruit Cider and Herlunga Blackcurrant and Lime. One of those two.
Incorrect.
What is it then?
I'm starting to wonder if I read the list wrong now. But according to my notes here, when I looked it up earlier, it was Aspel's Paranel Blush.
Oh yeah, it was.
At 4.5.
Aye.
That you very much hated in the first show.
We kind of graded that retrospectively, didn't we? Because that's another story. Fair enough, I got that wrong.
Okay, so one out of three so far. Yeah. And question number four, according to Camera, what are the three main criteria for a cider to be classed as real?
Okay, right, it's either one of them is either 90% or 100% pressed apples. So I'm going to go with 100%. No, I'll say 90% pressed apples.
Okay, it's correct, I will give you that.
Is that right?
Yes.
So it is 90%, not 100%?
It says 90%, it should not be lower than 90% volume. The minimum juice content.
No additives and stuff.
And stuff?
No artificial flavourings.
Yes, that's one.
No.
So one more, if you can give me one more.
This kind of is implied by the first point, but nothing, no concentrate.
No, I can't really give you that. Anything else you can think of?
No, I can't.
No pasteurisation.
No pasteurisation.
And no colourings, and you said no flavourings.
No
and
colourings. Colourings and flavour, that's obvious.
It's obvious stuff. It says the addition of water is permitted to bring the alcoholic content down. However, the minimum juice content should not be lower than 90%. Now, an interesting point, I think we've mentioned before about the carbonation.
In terms of real cider?
In terms of real cider. We definitely have. Now, according to Camera, it's actually that no artificial carbonisation for draft products is acceptable. So it sounds like in bottle, if it's fizzy, you're fine.
Okay.
But if it's artificially added for the draft.
To be frank, I don't care what their definitions are. Apart from the first one. The first one's the most important. What's the percentage of apples?
The percentage of apples, yes.
And I want the less artificial stuff is the better.
Yes.
But I'm not going to hold people to that and refuse to drink it the way
I'm not saying you're good. It's just, as a cider drinker, it's good to know what
And not only that, people dispute those definitions as well, don't they?
Who?
Well, there's other people that dispute them. There is.
Yeah, well, you can't argue with Camera. So, what do we get? I'll give you a point for the last one. So that is 2 out of 4.
Am I getting a full point for the last one?
I'll give you a full point because you did get three. You did get three points there.
Two out of four. I'll rescue it a wee bit.
I shall give you that. So, listeners, let us know how you did in the quiz this week. Let us know if you got the anagram correct, or if you'd had correctly remembered that our lowest rated cider was indeed Aspel's Paranel's Blush, that we gave a measly 4.5.
Indeed.
So, well done on a 2. Not disastrous.
Okay, let's review an Edinburgh pub. And this time, we're going to review, in some ways, it seems quite a common pub to review, but it's a good pub to review, and it's Alexander Graham Bell, which is a Wetherspoons bar on George Street. Not to be confused with the Standing Order, which is another Wetherspoons bar on George Street. This is a more sophisticated type of Wetherspoons, would you say?
Yes, I think as sophisticated as a Wetherspoons can get.
It's the most sophisticated I've ever seen.
Because it's relatively new. It only opened a few years ago. I remember before it existed.
Yes, it's quite new. And the best cider pub we've been to in Edinburgh, would you say?
Unfortunately, yes. And I say unfortunately because It's Wetherspoons.
You'd hope it'd be a nice, wee, interesting one down some side street.
Yeah, there may well be that we've just yet to discover.
But
so far, yes, the variety of cider in Wetherspoons, we've been very impressed with. And I think you were there most recently. What did they have on?
They had about four or five varieties of Henry Weston's. So you had your 2012 vintage, you had your medium dry, medium sweet, and extra dry versions.
Okay.
You had three varieties of Thistley Cross whiskey cask.
They've started doing Thistley Cross.
They have.
Ah, interesting.
These are all the bottles I'm telling you about here.
Yep. Okay.
So they had traditional whiskey cask and the 4% elderflower as well,
the new one.
Yeah. Which you haven't had yet.
Get our hands on some of that.
They had wild wood. They had your usual Magners and Recorder Leg, I think. No, it was Magners and Copperberg they had.
Right.
On draft, they had Magners and Wildwood or Stouffer Press. They had that many ciders. I cannot remember all the ones they had.
I should have taken notes.
I'm sure there was others that I completely have forgotten about as well.
Did they have Old Rosie? Do you remember?
Yes, they did.
Ah, okay. Cool.
They did. I think it was in bottles, though, not in draft.
Yeah.
They definitely had two ciders in draft, one of which was Magners, one of which was a slightly higher grade, like a Stouffer Press or something of that nature. But generally, Cider Mark's top notch.
Indeed.
I mean, we've been in there quite a few times, individually and together.
Mm-hmm.
And each time, it seems that they've got different kinds of cider on.
Yeah, yeah.
So they make an effort. Not only do they sell lots of cider, they make an effort to get new ones in.
And it's Wetherspoons that do the Cider Festival. I remember, was it last year or the year before? When we were in Durham when it was on, and the Wetherspoons there had all sorts of different ciders. Cheddar Valley, I think, rings a bell.
They had a cider menu.
I
don't want to get into praising Wetherspoons generally, even though they're very good at it, right? But in particular, this Wetherspoons is the best pub so far that we've been to for cider.
Yes.
So Cider Mark's, they get above average on the draft front, and well above average, as in top-class marks in the bottle front. We have to be honest.
I would agree.
As far as the pub goes, we've discussed it briefly so far. It's a nice decor. It's not overly fancy, but it's not a grotty Wetherspoons. Yeah. It's a nice Wetherspoons to go to.
Yeah.
Generally very busy, regardless what day you go.
Yes, it normally is rather packed.
But it's a good place to go of any kind of evening, I would say.
Yeah.
And I would recommend it.
We would. If you're into your cider, yeah. Unfortunately, I keep saying unfortunately, you do need to check out Alexander Graham Bell on George Street because the selection of cider is pretty cool.
Yeah, so very good marks for Alexander Graham Bell. We're going to branch out.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. We are branching out. I'm just going to finish some of this lovely scumpy first so I can empty my glass. I see you're pouring out some more of the Spanish one.
Yeah, I'm just cleansing my palate with some... The refreshing Spanish cider.
El Gatorade. So, what have we got here?
Okay, now, should we remind the listeners of the rules that we imposed for Let's Branch Out?
Yes, I think so.
So it was... Well,
I wouldn't say rules, they're more like guidelines, but go ahead.
An alcoholic drink that is not a cider, nor a beer, nor a wine, nor a spirit, but which cider drinkers might enjoy.
Yes.
You may argue I have bent the rules in this purchase.
Right, what have we got here?
We have, and I'll read this directly off the front of the bottle.
Do.
Melville's Raspberries Craft Lager.
Right, now, so it's a lager.
It has the word lager on it.
Yes.
However, it is local. It is never from concentrate. So you might call this a real raspberry lager.
Okay. Well, does it say never from concentrate on the bottle?
Yeah. So all the raspberries are genuinely crushed raspberries.
Interesting.
And stuff.
Have you had this before?
No. I just saw it in Margiotta's around the corner from my flat.
Okay. Well, I'm not a beer drinker, so it'll be interesting to see my thoughts on this.
So, but this is a local to Edinburgh.
Oh, right, is it?
Yeah, so it's not... I wouldn't say... I mean, it's called lager, so you could argue, though, it's not beer.
Well, beer or lager.
We're not going to go down that definition avenue.
No, let's not. Well, it's certainly red.
Very red. Now, there are... Were we discussing in the previous podcast about... flavoured beers like Creek in Belgium where you get the cherry and raspberry.
Yeah, possibly. So it's 4.1%. Oh yes, the address is Randolph Crescent, Edinburgh. Huh.
And that's really nice.
Right, so I'm going to try some as a non-lager drinker and let's see what we think here. Right, okay.
Really good.
The raspberry is very strong. So it kind of masks the lager taste.
It doesn't mask all of the lager taste, though. And that's why I like it, because it still tastes quite... You get a nice beer voluminousness to it. I tell you what, I prefer that any day of the week over a Recorder Leg or a Herlinger. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I can see, like, because you get these are the kind of raspberry ciders you get.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can see that as a beer drinker. It certainly looks a bit more...
It's not about being a beer drinker.
Well, no, it is, because that tastes of lager. If you don't like lager, if you do not like lager, then you're not necessarily gonna like this, because it still has that lagery taste to it.
I don't think it does.
I don't think I'm telling you, I am a non-lager drinker, and it does.
But it's a nice drink. It's a nice drink. Very different, and you could argue we've bent the rules for Let's Branch Out. Or have I broken them? You can be the judge.
You've been very close, but I think I would actually have this again in a pub.
Okay, well, that's good. I didn't see it in a pub. It's Melville's Craft Lager with a real fruit being raspberries this time. And it's local to Edinburgh. It's made from freshly handpicked and cold pressing the berries that are grown locally. So
interesting. Are you reading off the label again?
I am. I gave you into trouble for this.
Yes,
that's why, didn't I?
That's why I picked you up on that. So yeah, I think I would have one in a pub, but probably only the one, because to me as a non-lager drinker, it still tastes of lager. But it's very flavoursome with the raspberries over the lager, so it's worth trying.
Yeah. I would still say it's maybe not the most exciting thing that we've had on Let's Branch Out. And we don't really have any mechanism of comparing what we've had on Let's Branch Out, do we?
Well, they've all been so different, so...
Yeah. I don't think we should compare them necessarily.
No.
We should maybe contrast them side by side, but we shouldn't compare them in a...
I think it's more
through the medium of numbers.
I think as we run out of things to feature on Branch Out, I think the debate might become more about whether it is suitable for Branch Out or not, whether it breaks the rules or not. And this one, I think, is a fine line. But
fine line.
But no.
But it's a nice drink. Let's be honest.
Nice to try.
And to be honest, better than what I remember from Creek, which is the traditional Belgian cherry raspberry type beer.
Okay.
Much better than that.
Okay.
So, the Scottish raspberry beer is a success in itself.
I do like how it's from Edinburgh as well.
Leave aside the controversy around branching out, it's a very nice drink, and I would have it again if I saw it at the pub, although I've only seen it in a local shop. So, success all over.
Yes. Yes, not bad. Thanks for the contribution.
You're welcome. So that's just about it from round 7. Oh, no, it's not. It's not. We have the post bag.
Well, it pretty much is, because we don't have too much of interest in our post bag this week. A couple of snippets. We did actually, after the debate last episode about whether we should rate our sizers using apples as opposed to points, one listener did contact me to say that they think it's a very good idea and that we should do that.
Who was that?
It was just a listener from Durham.
A listener from Durham.
Yeah,
I think I've got a good idea who that is. I told you we're definitely not doing that.
Yes,
but, and I also told you the reasons why after the podcast.
And you said it's because other places that review cider do a similar thing. So it just kind of shows what a good idea my idea was, and that it's the kind of common sense thing to do.
So yes, but we're not going to be copying any other.
We're not copying because I came up with the idea independently of other places. Just because we happen to be doing the same thing doesn't mean we're copying them. However, especially since our reviews at the start of this show, I'm thinking that maybe the out of 5 might not necessarily be enough.
No. Let's just go with the number. We've got a cider league table.
I'll tell you what, listeners, let us know.
We've got a cider list, which we're going to rebrand as a league table, if you can ever be bothered doing it.
It'll take a second. Listeners, let us know. If you think it would be better as...
League tables rating... have numbers. League tables have numbers. People understand numbers.
Yeah, numbers of apples. Let's leave it to the listeners, right?
Okay.
Listeners, let us know. The more votes we get for or against the rating the ciders by the number of apples, we shall go with whatever the consensus.
While we're talking about the league table, before you go on, actually,
yes,
you should just mention to the listeners, you can sort it by episode, you can sort it by alcoholic volume, you can sort it by name, or, in the best format, you can sort it by score to see what...
Yes.
Given the highest.
I might say that to be the default, actually.
Yeah, I think that would be
good. Especially if we're going to rename it to lead table. But anyway, we'll worry about that. So yeah, check out our cider list.
Yes.
So the other one was just a shout out to Adam Walker from Fife, who emailed us to suggest we try Yarlington Mill, which apparently was Camera's 2009 Cider of the Year.
Very interesting. A medium cider. Well, let's try and find it.
So we shall have to track that one down because it does sound interesting. He also suggested that we approach a radio studio to record our podcast in a radio studio.
He sounds like a fan.
He's actually a producer for one of the Fife radio stations. But
I made a joke, very, very big joke earlier in the show about us getting our radio career out of the back of
it. Oh, I must have missed that one. But I think it's an interesting point. Because it would be kind of cool, especially from the sound quality wise, it would be like a radio show quality.
But as in, we have a regular feature on what, a Thursday night or something?
No, not actually on the radio. We just use a radio studio to record our podcast.
Oh, no, we can't afford that.
Well,
unless we want listeners to start.
It's not necessarily about paying. You said perhaps we could, like, in return for advertising the radio station or something like that. But anyway, but I think it's more, I don't necessarily think our format of show would be suited to a kind of actual radio studio with drinks and spilling them on laptops.
Yeah, we'd spill everything everywhere.
And sitting around the sofa. So we're grateful for the idea.
Until we're on the radio, I'm not using a studio.
Right, okay. So our first aim is to get a feature on the radio then, is it?
Yeah, well, it's not an aim at all. We're never going to make money out of this IT. We've got to.
I'm not looking at money, just fame.
Just fame.
No, I'm joking. So thanks for your email, Adam. And we'll certainly track down that Yarlington Mill.
Yeah, even though we've got about 25 ciders in the pipeline.
Well, yes. Well, another one to the list won't harm.
No, it certainly won't. Anything else in the postbag?
That is all, I believe, for this week.
We've had vigorous debates on Twitter recently, though, haven't we?
It's been quite...
Vigorous.
Yeah.
We've been in conversation with the real cider Nazis, various things.
I wish you stopped calling them Nazis.
They are. Anyway, let's leave it there. Thank you for listening to round 7 of the Edinburgh Cider Review. We'll see you for episode 8. And thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.